Good morning, everyone. We come to the 36th chapter of Jeremiah, one that goes back in time yet again. Remember, Jeremiah is not chronologically laid out for us. So we go back to that time quite a few years before where we were just a few chapters ago with Babylonians at the gate for the last time. So let's pray before we begin. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would descend upon us, to open our eyes and hearts to your word. We may understand your faithfulness. We may understand our proclivity to unfaithfulness, and that we might pursue you with all that we are. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So Numbers 14 tells us that the Lord is slow to anger, and we see that here in Jeremiah. Now remember, Jeremiah himself comes on the scene about 627 B.C., 40 years or so before the final, Jerusalem finally fell and the final exile of the people into captivity in the Babylon. So there was a lot of time for the people to hear the word, a lot of time for them to repent, but the Lord continues to put up with their disobedience. Now, this wasn't just a 40-year disobedience. The disobedience had been going on many years prior to Jeremiah coming onto the scene. And so when we come to chapter 36, we can even see that we may even be surprised the Lord waited this long, given all the events that are recorded for us. Zedekiah is the king, not Jehoiakim, which chapter 36 talks about, as we'll understand in just a moment. So this actually occurs, chapter 36 actually occurs before chapter 32, chronologically speaking. So the year is probably 604, 605 B.C., right around the time of that first Babylonian invasion and the first exile. It was during that first exile that people like Daniel were taken. The best and the brightest were taken into Babylon to kind of salt their culture as well. But we see Daniel and his friends remaining faithful to the Lord while others did not. So let's get into this. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, now we remember Josiah was the one good king in this time. So this was his son. This word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. So it comes to pass at this time. This is really happening in the same year as chapter 25 is taking place. So we see how that's laid out for us. Take a scroll and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel and Judah and all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah until today. So this is the command of the Lord to Jeremiah to make this more than spoken prophecy, but to write it down, in fact. Perhaps this is what has happened from the time Jeremiah gets on the scene the first 627, 626, around there until 605. So maybe it's that period of time so far that he's writing about it. And the reason is that so that the house of Judah will hear. So Judah and all the nations from the days of Josiah until today, verse 3, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the disaster that I intend to do to them, so that everyone may turn from his evil way and that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. So this is early enough that there is still time, hypothetically. Now, because we've already jumped ahead, we know what they don't turn. So, but remember, Jeremiah was called to preach to the people the judgment that was coming. And the Lord lays out for him a couple times in the hopes that they will repent, but he's already told them, no, they will not repent. So it is clearly the Lord, in a sense, in a human sense, saying, I gave you every opportunity, but you did not turn. You loved your idolatrous ways more than you loved me. So there were many terrible prophecies in this time from Jeremiah, and they're to be written down in a sense to be saved so that they will be reread. There'll be a record of them and not just, well, Jeremiah, that was, we were not sure what he was talking about then. No, here are his words clearly and plainly. And remember, this is some 20 years before the final conquest. So that they would hear the word of God, every man would turn from his ways, and God would relent in his judgment. But that does not happen. So Jeremiah is not the writer of this, but his amanuensis, Baruch, or his secretary, the son Neriah, writes on a scroll. So he is the one who writes these things down. And one of the reasons, as we'll see, that he writes them and then he proclaims them is that Jeremiah's in what we'll call house arrest still. His words have not been very popular with the king, Jehoiakim, so Jehoiakim has kind of kept him in captivity as punishment because of this. So the word comes from God to Jeremiah. He relates it to Baruch, and Baruch writes it down. Now, we might think that this is well, he's just a secretary, but the Hebrew is kind of hard to write, and dictation then is a real skill because the complexity of the letters, ink running, you don't want gaps which are meant to be there to be filled in, that would make another letter. So all those things are, all those things point to a particular skill that Baruch had. So let's keep going and dictate to him, verse 5, and Jeremiah ordered Baruch, saying, I am banned from going to the house of the Lord, so you are to go, and on the day of fasting, in the hearing of the people in the Lord's house, you shall read the words of the Lord. Now, the day of fasting, the people didn't believe. They didn't believe in the judgment of the Lord. They weren't worshiping the Lord, but they were still going through the motions of fasting on those high days. And it also may be that they were fasting because of the Babylonians were coming and they had destroyed a city not far from Jerusalem, and maybe they were fasting with just kind of going through the motions, hoping the Lord would deter the Babylonians. So you shall read them also in the hearing of all the men of Judah who come out of the cities. So everybody who gathers there are going to hear the word in the temple area. Again, this was the place where everybody came at one time or another. It may be that their plea for mercy will come before the Lord, and everyone will turn from his evil way, for great is the anger and wrath that the Lord has pronounced upon his people. And Baruch, the son of Neriah, did all that Jeremiah the prophet ordered him about reading from the scroll the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Now, in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, we go back to the first verse, it was the fourth year, that's the start. Now, in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, all the people in Jerusalem and all the people who came from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem proclaimed a fast before the Lord. So this is the following year, and from writing of the scroll last year. Now, we're just not sure whether the writing took place and this was the reading or this was a second reading of it. Just not exactly clear what is going on there. So they proclaimed a fast. Again, they're going through the motions of fasting. And this fast might be tied to the fall of Ashkelon. Again, hoping the Lord would stay his hand and keep them safe. So they proclaimed a fast. But notice what it says here. All the people who came from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem proclaimed a fast before the Lord. The king does not proclaim the fast, but the people do. And we understand why the king doesn't, because his heart is hardened and he has turned his back on the Lord. But apparently there are still some people who have enough sense about them to want to go before the Lord and do what is right before the Lord. So they proclaim the fast, not the king, not the religious leaders, but the people proclaim the fast. So Baruch reads from the book, from the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. He publicly reads it, calling the people to repentance, warning the people of the judgment to come. And he does this in a particular place. Verse 10, then in the hearing of all the people, he reads the words of Jeremiah from the scroll in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the secretary, which is in the upper court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. So this individual, Gemariah, was the son of Shaphan. Shaphan had been, the secretary of state under Josiah. So we're going to make a little bit of assumption there that these were friends of Jeremiah, faithful men who were taken aback by these words, who were concerned for the people and wanted them to be obedient to the Lord. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, heard all the words of the Lord from the scroll, he went down to the king's house into the secretary's chamber, and all the officials were sitting there. So he hears these words, and he takes them into the leaders. Sitting there, Elishama, secretary, Deliah, the son of Shemaiah, Elnathiah, the son of Achbor, Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the officials. And Micaiah told them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the scroll in the hearing of the people. Then all the officials sent Jehudi, the son of Nethani, son of Shelemiah, son of Cushai, to say to Baruch, take in your hand the scroll that you read in the hearing of the people and come. So bring that scroll to us, okay, because these are important words. They had enough sense about them to think, oh, this is important. We need to hear this. We need to hear this. So Baruch, son of Neri, took the scroll in his hand and came to them, and they said, sit down and read it. So Baruch read it to them, and he reads it all, not just a little bit, he reads it all. When they had heard all the words, they turned to one another in fear. So they were afraid of the judgment of the Lord. And they said to Baruch, we must report all these words to the king. Now that's not going to be a popular activity, as you can imagine. Then they asked Baruch, please tell us, how did you write all these words? Was it at his dictation? Now it's interesting here that they're trying to find out test the validity of these words. Is this really the word of God, or is this something that Jeremiah just came up on his own and is trying to scare everybody with? And Baruch answered them, he dictated all these words to me while I wrote them with ink on the scroll. Then the official said to Baruch, go hide, you and Jeremiah, and let no one know where you are. Now, let no one know where you are, because as soon as the king hears this, he's going to want Jeremiah's head, because this is bad news, and the king just doesn't want to hear bad news. The king has his own set of truths that he is operating by. They just don't happen to be the truths which God is operating by. So they have inquired carefully into whether this was authentic or not. They are convinced it was authentic from the Lord, and they say, go and hide yourself. Now, remember in Jeremiah 26, Jeremiah is persecuted. He's in danger of death, and another prophet's name is brought up, Uzziah. And Jeremiah went and kind of hid away, but Uzziah was caught. In fact, he actually went off to Egypt, and the king's henchmen went and followed him and caught him. And because the king didn't like the words that Uzziah said, they too were words of judgment upon the king and upon the nation. So they say to Jeremiah and Baruch, go and hide yourselves. Let nobody know where you are, because if the king knows where you are, he's going to find you. So they take the scroll before the king. So they went into the court of the king, having put the scroll in the chamber of Elishama, the secretary, and reported all the words to the king. Then the king sent Jehudi to get the scroll, and took it from the chamber of the secretary, and Jehudi read it to the king and all the officials who stood beside the king. It was the ninth month. Now, this is important, an important item here that is included. And the king was sitting in the winter house, and there was a fire burning in the fire pot before him. So it's either a portion of the palace that he lives in or a different one that he went to in the winter. And, of course, there's a fire pot there, like a fireplace, a fire pit, keeping everybody warm because it's winter. So they begin to read the scroll. As Jehudi read three or four columns, the king would cut them off with a knife. Now, this was a scribal knife, one that the scribes would use when honing their quills as or whatever they were writing with. So it was rather sharp, and he would take the scroll, and because it was written in columns, and he would take that knife, and he would cut the columns up. And then he would throw them into the fire. Now, think of that for a moment. Here is the word of God, judgment upon you, and his disdain for God and disdain for his word is shown. He doesn't just run up before it's finished being read, take the scroll and throw it in the fire. He takes it column by column, and he takes it and he cuts it off. And you can almost see the sneer, the look of superiority in his face, like, I don't need this. I know exactly what's going to happen. I'm in charge of my own fate. And he throws it into the fire. And he cuts it again, and he throws it into the fire. And he goes like that until the entire scroll has been consumed in the fire. Verse 24. Yet neither the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words was afraid, nor did they tear their garments. Now this is an additional frightening moment. You can see all the leaders there sitting around as the king takes it, cuts it, throws it in the fire. They didn't protest. Now, in their hearts, they may have, but it wasn't enough to get them to try to stop the king. It wasn't enough for them to tear their garments in sorrow and anger that the king would do this to the word of God. Now, we've seen this historically throughout times. People have attempted to destroy the word of God, but they've never been able to do it. Now you understand that Jehoiakim thought by destroying the scroll, he was going to end the prophecy against him, against himself, and against Jerusalem. That by destroying that, he would take the power or take the authority out of that, and the Babylonians would just leave. That obviously did not happen. We think of others who have tried to destroy the word of God. Diocletian, one of the emperors of Rome, ordered every Bible confiscated. Now, you understand, it took a lot to write a Bible at that time because it was all handwritten. Every Bible was to be confiscated and destroyed. And the next Roman emperor who came in after Diocletian actually ordered 50 copies of the Bible made at government expense. So you can't really destroy it. I can remember when in the days when I was going into Russia, the last time I was there, the people we were working with told a story of how a shipment of Bibles, which they had tried to sneak in under communism, had been confiscated at the border. And as a funny joke, the communists said, well, we'll teach these Christians what we think of the Bible. So they sent it off to the toilet paper manufacturer and said, make all of this paper into toilet paper. Well, such was the process that they used that they didn't really wash, in a sense, the paper well enough. So when it was made into rolls of toilet paper, it still had all the words of Scripture on it. So you could find the Bible on rolls of toilet paper that had been smuggled in. The Bibles had been smuggled in. They attempted to destroy it, but yet they couldn't. The word of God still got out. And people were so hungry for the word When I went there in 94 and we were passing out New Testaments, you just couldn't get the boxes open fast enough in the cities where we were. As soon as the word went out, Novo Testamentum, the flocks would come, and we would just, I just never looked up. I opened the box, I'd hand them out like this, and people would take them. You thought we were giving away $10 bills. And we didn't find any copies laying around. It wasn't like someone took them and threw them in the trash. They all took them home as something that was dear and precious to them. So the king's was not afraid. The king's men were not afraid. They were going to destroy the word of God, 26. And the king commanded Jeremiah, the king's son, and Seraiah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdiel, to seize Barak, the secretary, and Jeremiah, the prophet, but the Lord hid them, so they couldn't get to them. Now, 27, after the king had burned the scroll with the words that Baruch wrote at Jeremiah's dictation, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Take another scroll and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, has burned. And concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, you shall say, so he's adding these words. Okay, this was an addition to the first scroll would be done verbatim again with this addition. Thus says the Lord, you have burned this scroll, saying, why have you written in it that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and will cut off from it man and beast? Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out to the heat by day and the frost by night. Now, we've covered this previously because the promise is that there'll be someone from the line of David who will sit on the throne. And if you go to the genealogy in Matthew, that is the genealogy of Joseph, you will see Jehoiakim's name is included in there. But we see that Joseph was not the father of Jesus. He was the husband of Mary. Mary's line does not include Jehoiakim. So just a little distinction there, how that worked out. I will punish him, his offspring, his servants for their iniquity. I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the people of Judah all the disaster that I have pronounced against them, but they would not hear. And Jeremiah took another scroll, gave it to Baruch, the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote on it all the dictation of Jeremiah, all the words of the scroll that Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and many similar words were added to them. So not just the judgment upon Jehoiakim, but other words of judgment and words from the Lord were added to that scroll. So as hard as Jehoiakim tried, he could not end what was coming because it was determined by the Lord that this would come. And now here we are at the final siege of Jerusalem. The previous chapters are there, 586. This is some 20 years plus later that these things have come about. Jehoiakim is long gone. He had a bad end. But the people of Jerusalem hopefully are remembering the words of Jeremiah and the words of the scroll that were written down and preserved so that the Lord, they would understand that the Lord was in charge of all of this, bringing about their judgment. So that finishes up 36. We'll come 37, gets back into the time right around 586, 587, and Zedekiah is king. So we'll look at that next week.